May God's grace, His peace, His abundant, rich mercy be yours in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. The text I want to talk about is the Old Testament reading, Genesis 15, where God speaks with Abraham. We pray, Lord, cause your holy word to penetrate our hearts, our minds, for the benefit of our faith this day and forevermore. May we gladly hear your word, accept your word, and may it produce great faith in us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you have a lot or do you have a little? Who says they have a lot? Who says they have a little? You're wrong, you have a little too, if you're honest. Now we have a lot. As the baptized, as Christians, we have a lot of forgiveness, a lot of grace, a lot of mercy, a lot of the Holy Spirit. We don't just get a little dab of that stuff. We have overflowing abundance of all those blessings of God. We're the children of God, forgiven people, redeemed, having the Holy Spirit. We have a lot of blessings. But also, as the baptized, as Christians, if we're honest, we would probably say we have a little. We have a little faith to believe it all and to receive it. Doesn't Jesus in the gospel today say, oh, you of little faith? He says that several times. He's not just talking to people who lived way back then, but we're so much better than them. We have a great faith. He ever says to his people, oh, you of little faith, because he knows our sinful hearts and don't want to believe anything except believe in ourselves or whatever. Abraham is a good example of one here in Genesis 15 who has lots and lots of blessings and promises, but very little faith to believe it. You recall the story of Abraham. Of course, God promised Abraham everything. Took him out of his homeland, promised him a son, promised him that a great nation would come from him, and that the Messiah, the Savior of the world, would come from his family and bring salvation to the ends of the earth. Promised him land, and that God would bless him, be with him, protect him. What blessings God gave to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. Now we are in Genesis 15, and Abraham's not so sure he believes much of it anymore. Lots of blessings, but very little faith. Here in chapter 15, we have an Abraham that is discouraged, that is doubting. Oh, Lord God, what will you give me? What a thing to say to God. What are you going to do for me, God? I'm childless. Haven't kept your promise. It's been a lot of years, God. We don't know how many years since chapter 12, but several years. Sarah's not pregnant. Doesn't look like she's going to get pregnant. She's an older woman. Abraham's older. What can you really do for me, God? He has little faith. And the wonder of this particular little text here, just six verses, is how the Almighty Everlasting God deals with a child who has a little faith and is discouraged. What would God do for such a person? God is so compassionate, so loving, so kind. The God of the universe takes time with Abraham, one little puny human being, and yet God deals with this man of little faith and great discouragement. There are three things God does for him that are very significant. God takes him outside, God has him look up, and God puts something in him. That's how God deals with those of little faith, you and I today. God would take us out, have us look up, and put something in. There's the out, there's the up, and there's the in. That's how God operates. First of all, we read here, where God brought him outside. God took Abraham outside. Don't skip over that. There's significance in that. The picture is of Abraham sitting in his tent. And he just dwells in his tent. He's discouraged. You've been discouraged. And you just want to go off by yourself and sit and mope somewhere in your room, right? Be by yourself. Cry about it. He's sitting by himself, maybe Sarah there, in his little tent there. And Abraham's tossing and turning at night. He's sitting at the kitchen table pulling his hair out. What am I going to do? I don't have a child yet. Sarah's old. I'm old. No child. No pregnancy. How's this promise going to get kick-started? How are we ever going to have a great nation come for me? How's the Messiah going to come? How's salvation going to come? I got to help God, he thinks. God needs my help. God needs my suggestion. And so he suggests to God, Eliezer of Damascus will be my heir. Eliezer was probably a servant in the household. I'm just going to appoint him to be the heir. He'll be like my son, and I'll help you, God. That's my suggestion. Abraham, with his great brain power, his great logic and reason, I'll figure it out, and I'll help God out with this plan. Abraham is looking in for the answer. He's tossing, turning there in his little old tent, looking in. I can figure it out. I can do it myself. And so God takes him outside. God does not compliment Abraham. Abraham, you use that brain power of yours. You're so logical, so reasonable. Thank you, Abraham. Without you, the Savior couldn't come. Thank you so much, Abraham. I need you so bad. Thank you. I would have never thought of that idea, Abraham. No, God does not compliment him on his great reason and logic and understanding, his great brain power here. God takes him outside to say to Abraham, Abraham, the solution is not in you. It's not in that puny little brain I gave you. It's not in your logic, in your reason. It's not in you. I don't need your suggestion, Abraham. I don't need your help. Believe it or not, God does not need our help to save the world. I know it's hard for us to believe we're such prideful, arrogant people. God needs me somehow. He doesn't need us. God can do it all himself. He takes him outside. Salvation lies outside of you, Abraham. Not in you, but outside of you. Be humble. Realize you're a sinner. Realize you can't do it. It's going to require my miracle for it to happen. It's all on me, Abraham, not on you. I don't need your help. Be humble. No, we got a DVD of Gilligan's Island episodes the other day. Who likes Gilligan's Island? Come on, older folks. Kids, who likes Gilligan's Island? You've seen it? Wow. Good, wholesome humor. And I popped this in and we watched a couple episodes and my kids think it's corny. And I think Tom says, these people are so stupid on this island. I mean, Dad, they can build huts and they can build hammocks. And they can build kitchen tables and build all these nice devices in their huts. And they can't build a boat to get off the island. What's wrong with them? And of course, Ann and I said, that's all part of the charm of the show. All right? Just the way the show is. And I think, you know, we are a lot like people on Gilligan's Island. I'll be the skipper. Rick Elmore can be Gilligan. Okay, are you back there, Rick? You're Gilligan. Pat, you're the professor. No, you're the millionaire. I'm sorry. There you go. You know, we God has given us ability and knowledge. He's given us brains. He wants us to use them. And so with our brain power and by his blessing, we can have great advances in technology and medicine. We can do a lot of things. But we can't get off the island by ourselves. We're too stupid and foolish. We can't get up into heaven by ourselves. We can't take away sin. We can't conquer death. We can't get a right relationship with God by ourselves. We can't do it. We can't get off the island into heaven. Realize that. Go outside. Get out of your puny little brain, all your ideas, all your plans, and look to the plan of God. He, secondly, has him look up, takes him outside. It's not in you, Abraham. It's outside of you. And then he has him look up to the stars and count them if you're able to, Abraham. I heard we're on a clear night in the Middle East. There's 8,000 stars at least you could count. So rather than mulling over all this in your brain as you lie there in your tent and cry about it, go outside and count the vastness of the stars. All 8,000. Spend some time out here, Abraham. Look up. The answer is in God. The solution's in God. Salvation's in God. God can do it, Abraham. Believe. Look up. It's in God, not in you. Or anything that you plan to do. The great contrast of Abraham's solution there in the little tent in the Middle East, in his little brain, I'll make Eliezer the heir. Contrast that puny little stuff to the vastness of the stars. Wow, what a promise. God is saying, don't you realize how powerful I am? I'm not a little weak God who needs your help, buddy. I'm a great, big, powerful God. I made the stars and all the galaxies. I made all this stuff by the power of my word. Can't I have Sarah bear a child? Or is that too much for God? Can I not bring forth a great nation from you, or I'm just a weakling and can't do it, when I can make all the stars of the sky? Can I not bring forth my own son in human flesh who would live and die and rise for the salvation of the world? Can I not do that? Is that beyond me? I am powerful, Abraham. You're puny. I'm powerful. Look up. I got the answer. I got the solution. I'll do it. I'll keep my promise. In Jesus' ministry, don't we look up a lot in Jesus' ministry? Literally, people look up when Christ comes. At Christmas, the shepherds are watching over their flock. They're looking down at their flock, and they look up and see an angel. A Savior has been born. The glory of God and all the angels. Glory to God. And I just look up. Salvation is in God. Right off the bat, we have it. When Christ is baptized, look up, the heavens open, the Spirit descends, the voice of the Father, look up, world, look up. There's the answers in God, not in you. It's in God, look up. The Sermon on the Mount, why does he preach on a mount? So you might look up and hear the Word of God. The Transfiguration up on a mountain, look up and behold the beauty and glory of the Savior who will conquer sin, death, and hell. Look up, world. And then all this comes to a great climax at the cross. He dies up in the air, suspended on a cross. Look up, world. Look up to a God who hangs on a cross to die for your sins and deliver you. Look up. The answer is in God, not in you and all that you think you know. Now, I read where a teenager is going to try to do something this summer. You know, in my day, we watched Gilligan's Island. Teenagers today try to sail around the world by themselves in a sailboat, don't they? A girl a few months ago tried this, and I guess she had to be rescued. And now we have another young lady who's going to try to sail around the world solo in a sailboat. Talk about being foolish. You know, we have a much higher goal for our teenagers. I want my kids to have a higher goal than to sail around the world. You sail around the world, and where do you end up? In the same spot, so why do it? I want the teenagers here to have a higher goal, kids and adults. Our goal is to sail off the world, to soar off the world, to go off the world into heaven, into glory, into paradise, and be with God forever. But there's no solo trip. Jesus is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. He died for you. He rose. And through him, you'll go. God takes him outside. God has him look up. And then last of all, God puts something in Abraham. What does God put in Abraham? He puts his word in the ears and the heart of Abraham. Two times in this little bitty text, it says, the word of the Lord came to Abram. Two times. God knows what his discouraged little saint needs. God knows what you need when you're discouraged, when you doubt, when life's against you. God, you're going to keep your promises. God knows what you need. So God does what? God brings you his word. The word of the Lord came to Abraham. I am your shield. Your reward will be great. And offspring's going to come from your own body, Abraham. It's going to be as numerous as the stars. The word of God comes to Abraham's ears. It might go to his heart and strengthen his faith. At the end of the text, Abraham believes, and he counted it to him as righteousness. Verse 1, Abraham has little dinky faith. What can you do for me, God? Verse 6, he believes the Lord and it's counted to him as righteousness. Abraham is righteous, for he believes in the righteousness of Jesus, the one who would come from his own body. Some thousands of years later, Abraham believes the word of God. Don't credit Abraham. We don't put Abraham on some pedestal. Well, Abraham just conjured up faith. He struggled and he conjured up some faith in his heart. Wow, if only I could do that. All the credit here does not go to Abraham. The credit goes to the Word of God that strengthens Abraham. That shows you the power of the Word of God, and you're too lazy to come and get it sometimes. No wonder why you have little faith. You don't partake of the Word of God in your life. That's why you have little faith. The power of the Word of God to strengthen a discouraged man who doesn't think God can hardly do anything for him anymore. And a few verses later, he believes, and he's righteous. You know, what do you do when you're hungry? Not a hard question. What do you do when you're hungry and you're weak? When you're hungry and weak, do you sit around and analyze how hungry you are? Man, I got stomach pain here, and I got hunger pain here, and I got hunger pain here. Mine's always all over the place, by the way. But I got all this hunger pain all over me. And I just analyze my hunger pain? I don't do that nonsense. I just eat. And I'm full. And the hunger goes away. And so when you lack faith, don't sit around and analyze your faith. Do I have a little bit of faith? Do I not have faith? What's wrong with my faith? Don't do that nonsense. Don't analyze. Nowhere does the Bible tell us to analyze our faith. Just eat. Hear the word of God with gladness. Partake of the sacrament. And hear God saying, I am your shield, your reward. Your sins are forgiven. I shed my blood for you, and I love you, and I'll be with you no matter what it is. Do not fear, little flock. I've chosen to give you the kingdom. I'll give you everything else. Can't you trust me? A head article I saw on the internet the other day said this. Caught my attention. 28 things men don't know about women. And I found great comfort. There's only 28 things I don't know about Ann? I thought I was up in the triple digits or whatever. You know, I'm sure I didn't read it, but I'm sure the point... Sorry, Ann, I didn't really read it. I'm sure the point of it was, you know, men are clueless about women. We're clueless about children, too, by the way. Moms would recognize that. We're clueless about ourselves often. We're clueless about a lot of things in the world. We might know a little sports, a little bit of that, food maybe. But we're clueless, and women are clueless, too. We don't know a lot of things. We have puny little brains like Abraham trying to figure everything out. By the grace of God, he helps us figure some things out now and then. But one thing we should know clearly. God loves us. And God gave his son, the great star in the sky that Abraham saw, the great star that would come, who shed his blood for us and forgives us. How do we know that for sure? Because God's word says so. The word of the Lord has come to us. I love you and forgive you. Oh, you of little faith, First Lutheran, may God take you out. It's not in you. May God have you look up. The solution's in him. May God put his word in your ears, in your heart, in your mouth as you commune. And go home with great faith. Amen. We rise.